The Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network is brought to you by Onyx Hunt. Bringing you the best GPS mapping software directly to your smartphone or desktop, Onyx offers you the ability to see property boundaries, mark waypoints, track your location, and so much more. Visit onyxmaps.com or you can download it directly from your app store today. Save 20% off of your purchase by using the code NATION20 at checkout. That's capital N, nation, followed by the number 20.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
All right, guys. Sitting back down with another friend of ours.
Boy, this could be confusing for me. When I say Adam, it's like, yes.
And you're looking at both of us.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so Matt's sitting on one side of the table, and then there's two Adams sitting on this side of the table. That's right. That's right. And so basically, Matt, you're gonna have to
really be looking very intently. Yeah. When I stare into both of your eyes.
That's right.
Don't read into that.
I'm just trying
to direct conversation towards you.
Yes. So.
Oh, there's our interrupter guy.
I think. Yeah.
Come on, Kevin. You're killing me.
Yeah. What's his name, Kevin?
Kevin Hurst, yeah. So I know Kevin.
Yep.
Kevin has been actually a great supporter of what we do. It's interesting how the
we haven't spoken badly about him at all on any of the other podcasts.
Yeah. Well, it's about to go down.
Okay.
No.
He's a great supporter of you, although I don't think he's very big fans of ours.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, so Kevin is a regional director for the National Wild Turkey Federation, and he's only been with them for a couple years. Well, I was here last year, and we'll probably talk through some of that, and I went home with this idea and all the stuff that we were doing, and that, well, I should probably call the local people, right?
Sure.
You know, kind of build out that way and, you know, grab the computer, tile it up, Google it up, find out. He's the three RDs. One in my region is a guy named Kevin Hurst.
Nice.
So I call him up and I said, hey, man, my name's Adam, you know, whatever. And I said this and that. And I heard him talking and I said, wait a minute. I know your voice. Where's your voice from? Because last year he was the MC as well.
Right.
And he goes, well, I'm the MC at the show. And I'm like, you're the guy that said the walk of shame. Somebody lost their phone or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was kind of wild. And now he's the guy doing the MC. And he's been a great supporter of what we're doing locally. And that's been really cool. So.
Well, I'm glad he finally hushed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Give the stage to the Adams.
Yeah, to the Adams.
That's
yes.
Right.
So
one Adam Square.
We've got our friend Adam Winkleman here.
Thank you for having me.
Any relation to Babe?
To the Babe? Yeah. So actually, Babe Winkleman is his dad and my grandpa are brothers.
No kidding. So there is relation. Wow.
Yep. No, that's
catching absolutely. Catching big slabs.
Catching big slabs, man.
He's big eyes.
He's a legend in the area there, you know, for what he did. Trying to revolutionize television and taking fishing in that level and whatever else. So I've never met him. I know the family pretty well. Unfortunately, as it is with families, you know, you don't see each other as much until it's a funeral or a wedding or something. But I know the family. And I just haven't met him yet. So
gotcha.
But yeah, his dad and my grandpa are brothers.
That's really neat.
So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, sure. So I have a company called Relevant, R-L-V-N-T. Everybody asks me why we spelled it that way. It's because, honestly, we couldn't remember where the E and the A went and how we were trying to
spell
it.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, screw it. Just take them off.
I like consonants
phonetically anyhow. Just Relevant. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Consonants only.
Yeah.
And so, and really what it all sort of started was July of 2018, had a vision for how we could take the things that I know, which is optical. So my experience is in the optical industry. I've spent a little over 20 years in the optical industry and did some interesting things, had a business there and sold that, worked for corporate, grew some really interesting stuff, but saw some of the things that we could do in the optical world, and then I saw some of the things that some of the companies that are out there doing, and there's some gaps in there, and there's some technology gaps that we could pull through. And then as I started to understand and study, you know, the game of, I love bow hunting, whitetails is like one of my favorite things to do. Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things to do. And as I started to study it, more thinking about a business, I learned some of the major ways that we could actually make hunting different too. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting.
Sure.
So it all kind of started then, left with this vision for what it would be, but I have a ton of respect for the people that I was working for. So I left without any strategy. I left without any plan. By the way, terrible idea. It's not a very good idea financially. It's a really good idea ethically, but it was a terrible idea financially. I'm glad I did it that way, but it took a little while for us to build that strategy and build that plan. And now we really kind of our coming out party for what we do is here at the NWTF.
Nice.
At this show. And it's really kind of cool that it worked out that way. I was here last year with this lens and this technology we call the concealment coating, but we didn't have any traction with it. We didn't understand exactly how this was going to go. Met some people, you guys not yep. excluded. And one thing led to another, and NWTF invited me down to South Carolina after they had heard about what I was doing with the optical solution and how functional it was and how it was going to change hunting. And I went down there and presented what we were doing. They immediately were like, yes, this is incredible. Can we get a really high quality frame that would carry this lens and we would have the NWTF on it? And I said, yeah, it'll take some work, but we could mm-hmm. do that. So we went through all the work, and we're launching that here at the NWTF, and it's really great to be able to pull that function, pull all that practical, have some style and some fashion along with it, and pull money. So proceeds, 5% of our proceeds go right back into the NWTF for conservation efforts. And so, yeah, it's really cool. So that's kind of what we're doing on the core side. We're really focusing on the optics, what our experience is an expertise, if you'd call it that, is in optics, and we're really focusing on that. We're focusing in on the science, and we're bringing that through as a product. So,
very cool.
There's some awesome demonstrations that I think that you guys have done an awesome job of incorporating to your booth, slowing people down as busy as it can be.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good segue into what's the science behind all this. Kind of break that down as to why you
and why that's
that
different. What you're doing is why that's different than what they've seen in the past.
Sure. So, Matt, you talk about one of the things that was actually one of the most difficult things was I knew from the science of stuff that optical surfaces are reflecting ultraviolet light. Okay.
Yep.
And then as I studied bird. Turkey and waterfowl in particular, and whitetails to an extent, they also can see UV. I started to learn that they can see this and that they use this. And not only do they use ultraviolet light, it's what they call the survival spectrum for them. So they can see all these colors like we can see, then they see UV, but the UV they use for survival. They use it for identifying forage. They use it to identify predation and these different things. And so if optical surfaces reflect, that's going to flare. So I started putting this thing together. The most difficult thing was, how do I show this? Because we as humans can't see that, right? We don't understand that. So I'm trying to build something.
It's like your wife saying, I wish you would think like me. You can't physically do it, right?
No.
It's very difficult to understand.
It's difficult
we need
to
demonstrations.
Understand.
Yes. It's the other Newton law, is that right? Where for every emotion, there's an over emotion for your wife. Is that how it goes? Or every action, for every action, there's an overreaction. I think that might be how it goes. But anyway, so the most difficult thing that we had was trying to figure out how we could show this. In the infrared spectrum, there's quite a few tools that are out there, but in the UV spectrum, there really isn't. And there isn't anything super practical, right? You have to spend thousands of dollars to get a lens that you're going to convert and do whatever. Well, through research and different things, we came across this camera that does exactly what we want. We had to spend a little bit of money for it, but it's so cool. We attach it to the top of my 42-inch screen, and we push UV light with these bulbs at 365 nanometers, which is right in the middle-ish around of UVA, and it pushes UV into the environment indoors. And now, for the first time that I was able to do, we can actually show the person exactly what the UV spectrum looks like and illustrate fairly closely, according to the professors and stuff that I work with, fairly closely to what we think a bird sees. As far as the UV spectrum is concerned.
Right.
And this is where things really got really interesting. Once I was able to take the understanding of science and the practical part of it and then see it, I was like, oh my gosh, what opened up is, one, we crushed it. We knew exactly what was going on, and it's exactly what happened as it pertained to the eyewear solution. But what it also showed is that our faces, our skin, will reflect an enormous amount of ultraviolet light. And when you look at that relative to the field, whether the way we hunt, especially against a tree or in a blind or something like that, our background is black, right? It's a black background, mm-hmm. whether that's a tree or not. And here's this inconsistency inside the field, which is our melon, right?
Or our hands. Even.
Or our hands.
Which tend to move quite a bit, right?
Yes. So one of the things I learned, actually, I shouldn't say I learned it, but I really started to understand it this week, was we had, you may know him, I don't know, Dr. Collier over at LSU.
Yeah, he was on the podcast earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So when I started digging into all this stuff, I saw some people that had, you know, written about it. And I reached out to him, and I got to say, man, one thing I got to say is a shout out to the community, the professors that I reached out to. When I originally did, I didn't have a website. I didn't have nothing to justify that I was even a real dude.
Warrant a response.
Right, yeah, to warrant a response. Every single one of them responded, and every one of them were so gracious with their time. And Dr. Collier was just fantastic. And he was sharing with me that it isn't necessarily the movement or whatnot of a person. They see movement all the time, but that movement creates this flare because of the UV that's reflecting off of our hands. Your hand moving isn't necessarily probably the thing that makes them nervous. It's the reflection of that ultraviolet light from your hand, which, remember, is in their survival spectrum.
They see
that it's, well, that was unnatural, right? And that's what really kicks them off. And so we're really, really excited, because if you come to the booth here or whatever, as we have been showing on social media and stuff, we can now show people what it looks like and how we're solving that problem. And to take and put this lotion on people's faces, and for their face to turn matte black and to conceal themselves into their background, has been a really fun experience, and has really helped illustrate what we're trying to show.
And that lotion, since you mentioned that lotion is a sunscreen, basically, like it works as a sunscreen as well.
It does,
But it's not like, the amazing thing is, you look in the lens on the UV camera, and it's like you're smearing the blackest face paint you can find. Yeah. The biggest oily dark face paint. That's what it looks like. Just smearing all over your face. And then you look like in just a regular mirror, and you're like, there's nothing on my face. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like face paint.
That's right. No. Yeah. That's right, Adam. And so when I started researching this, you know, it does. It has SPF properties, which was important to me. I've had skin cancer, and I thought, if I'm going to put something on my face, I'd really like it to have an SPF property.
Sure.
And the SPF piece of it is actually one of the major components of this, because it actually provides that absorption of the ultraviolet light. But what the tricky part about it is that it can't just be that, because it also can't stink.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife, I love the way she smells, but I don't want to smell like her in the woods. Right? I don't want it to be thick. It needs to be able to breathe. It needs to be lightweight, right? All those things. And it took a long time to find a product that could check all those boxes. And that stealth screen does it. So people can purchase that and feel extremely confident that you can apply that to your face prior to a hunt, and you're going to be concealing yourself in that spectrum that they see. But also, it's going to be super comfortable. And as you said, it's a liquid, right? So, but then as it sort of just kind of dries out, it's super matte black, and there's no sheen, there's none of that stuff, and it's a really great product.
I just don't want people to be confused. It's matte black within the UV spectrum.
That's a great point. Thank you.
Yeah.
I forget that they're not seeing it. It is matte black in the UV spectrum, but you could still go to church. You could still go see your mom, go have dinner. Do those sorts of things, because in the visual spectrum, it's invisible.
I have gone through a drive-thru with face paint all over my face and had forgotten that it was there after a hunt. And people would look at me like crazy.
Yeah.
Here, they wouldn't know that you were hunting unless you're wearing full camo,
right? Yep.
And because it looks and goes on just like a lotion.
And, you know, the thing that that people need to be careful with, the face paint, actually, is a lot of the face paints, because I dug into that, and not all of them, but a lot of those face paints, especially the SPF ones, actually have SPF properties that reflect ultraviolet light. And so you have to be very careful about how you and what you apply to your face, because it could be counterproductive.
Yeah, easily, very easily.
Yeah.
And I think our perspective is through our eyes,
right?
And we have to, when we're looking at, targeting specific game, you have to look at it through their eyes. And that's exactly what this whole relevant is kind of based around, is looking
100%.
At wildlife through their eyes.
Yeah.
And we overlook that and overestimate it all the time.
We try to think like a deer, think like a turkey, but we don't like try to see like a turkey.
So it's funny to hear you guys, because I remember October of 2018, and what I was doing that exact same thing, and people are like, "What are you up to?" I said, "You know what? I feel like Bill Murray in Caddyshack right now. My enemy is an animal, and in order to kill the animal, I must think like that." But it's really what we tried to do. Yeah. And then what we also do as an organization is we work extremely hard to tie into the community. Yeah. And when I say by the community, whether it's a hunting community, and not just hunting, turkey hunting, waterfowl hunting. Tell me, Adam, as a turkey hunter, what's important to you? And then we pull that thing through. So all of our names are from the community. So our lens, we have this really special lens I was telling you about that doesn't, you know, reflect UV and whatever. What's a polarized lens that also changes color based on the amount of light? It's a super special lens. Well, I didn't have a good name for it. So I'm like, well, you guys help me figure out what I should call this. Yeah. And they came up with a name called Chameleon. I'd have never thought of that. And now the community has emotionally attached to what we're doing from the naming.
How does that work? Because that's another awesome aspect to some of these, the optic and the glasses, the way they're, how does that factor into all of this?
The ability to change color.
Yes. Yeah.
So the lens is, it is pretty special. So there's a number, there's three main components to it. The lens material itself is called Tribex. It's a material called Tribex. So normally you have to choose between glass and polycarbonate. Glass has great optics, but it's super heavy and it's not impact resistant. Very not practical for hunting, certainly, but also probably not practical just for even really living
active
or fishing or something.
Lifestyle,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Polycarbonate, on the other hand, is super light and it's very, very impact resistant, but it denigrates your optics about 30%. So the optics are just not that good.
Yeah.
This material gives you the optics of your eye. It's the exact same optical clarity as your eyeball, which is super, super clear, very, very close to glass. And it's impact resistant and lighter than polycarbonate.
Oh, wow.
So that's one of the facets. It's it's polarized. Not really interesting. There's a lot of polarized companies that are out there. Mm-hmm. But it's polarized. It's high-quality polarizer. And then it has this ability to change its color that you look out of from olive green through the brown spectrum, through copper, through amber, and into brown. And how that works, interestingly enough, is UV again.
Okay.
So what it does is ultraviolet light passes through our treatment, enters the lens, and that ultraviolet light is what activates this lens. And depending on the amount of light that's in the environment, it will activate relative to that. So it'll go from its natural state of olive green, which is incredible for low light conditions, and then it'll activate through that, and even behind the windshield of a car, it'll activate, and then all the way to a full brown on a bluebird day, right?
So the lenses are changing color based on the amount of light in whatever environment you might be in.
So unlike the transition lenses that we've seen, or like you see a lot of people wear, where they go from almost clear to black.
Yep.
These go from green to brown.
That's right. It's actually industry secret. It actually is the company Transitions that's behind the technology behind it. The difference is that the folks that you see inside the building, their lenses are Transitions, but they're not polarized.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
So that's the real discerning difference between it. So like my dad has Transition lenses, but they're terrible on the water. They're terrible behind the windshield when it's glary, where these are incredible.
Let's apply, okay, so we've got lenses that transition based on light. Let's apply that to the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they care about that?
Why do they care that they transition?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, for a lot of reasons, and really it gives you a full day. So when you're in the car and you're driving around, you can actually use it for that or whatever, and it's going to change on it. But really what it amounts to is, in low light conditions, the olive green color is going to allow a lot of light into your eye.
Yep.
And it's going to make the environment more vivid. The greens are going to enhance and the reds are going to enhance in your environment, but you're going to get a lot of light that's going to enter the eye, and you're going to be able to see quite well.
And that's where, like, if you're wearing the glasses and another person's looking at you, they can see your eyeballs. Like,
yes,
they can see right through
right.
the lens
yeah.
and just see your eyes yeah. where, yeah.
That's right, Adam. And that if there's one downside to the technology, I would say just the aesthetics mm-hmm. In its natural state can geek people out a little bit, right? Because I'm like, well, I can see your eyeballs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, the game can't see it.
Right.
Right, because there is a tint there. And actually, when you're outdoors, the anti-reflective coating creates this like ruby hue. It's like super cool, and so they can't see you, and so that gives you access to your eyes in low light conditions, but inside and stuff, yeah, it can be a little bit goofy.
They look like driving glasses or like shooting glasses, where
yes,
it's like
shooting
the,
glasses yeah
yeah
yep that's exactly right. They're a yellow tint, so they're really great for shooting in low light.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, you know, man, when you're out hunting, you're doing your thing, that's you're out there, and the elements, we need product, we need our stuff to adapt to the elements. And that's exactly what our eyewear can do now. And so these will adapt to the elements. So as the sun comes up, it'll change for
like
you.
Like a fisherman or, water, like you said, waterfowler
yep.
early.
Yep.
They could be facing directly into the sun.
Yep. Yep.
In a blind situation, can't get rid of it. But that sunglasses, the optics are going to change based on that
that's
light
right.
availability.
Yeah. And
interesting.
That's exactly right. And because it doesn't reflect the ultraviolet, and it also allows all the visible light, so there's no sun reflection back, then that hunter, that waterfowl hunter, that turkey hunter, or whatever, they can keep them on. And honestly, instead of having to hunt over or underneath the bill of your hat, flip that sucker around, put on the stealth screen, and hunt the bird.
Yeah.
Right? Watch what they're doing. Exactly. Are they banking in? Is it the right bird you're targeting? Are they doing this? Are they doing
yeah.
that? And you can call different that way. Instead of, I just, you know, look, I'm victim of it, man. I've always had to been like, well, do-do-do, you're kind of hunting around, and all of a sudden, oh, there it is, the whitetail, the turkey, whatever. And then that moment's there, now you can't use your eyes.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're frozen here, you can't do anything. And it's just, that goes
yeah.
away with this. And it's changed the way that people can hunt, changed the way I can hunt, for sure.
I always think of duck hunting. When I got into duck hunting, waterfowl hunting, when I was in college.
Sure.
And I had hunted forever, and it was like, okay. And then, so I was like, man, ducks are really pretty. They've got so many different colors. This is going to be really cool to watch them fly through the sky. And buddy's like, now remember, when they start getting in close and they're cupped up, kind of keep your eyes down. Don't look up at them. And I was like, what?
You don't want me? How am I going
to? How am I? What? And he's like, we'll just be, I mean, we're looking right under our hat bills, and we're just kind of like almost doing that awkward like side eye treatment. I'm
yeah.
like, so I can't watch them fly around? And he's like, no, they'll flare off of us.
Yeah.
It's like,
and this
okay.
is the exact reason why they're flaring.
Yeah, yeah, and
because
look,
your white face,
yeah.
you're looking up, here's the whites of your eyes and your white face just staring up at them.
It's been incredible as I've just, and I'm always learning every day. And today, for example, quite candidly, today I literally, it dawned on me, I couldn't believe how much people's eyes reflect.
Sure.
Yeah. It's, you know, duh. Right? It's the whites
yeah.
of our eyes. White tends to reflect UV.
So are you guys working on an eye drop solution?
We don't need eye drops. No. We got eyeglasses. That's enough. Eye drops, you're getting into all kinds of medical different things. But yeah. No, so, but yeah, it's, you know, and look, that's what good hunters do, right?
Yeah.
Good hunters, they keep the bill down, they do the thing and whatever. We've never had the tool. We've never had the ability to do that. And at Relevant now, we're delivering that. We're providing the solution, which is rattling some cages. People are like,
sure.
This, I've never done that before. And in my own personal experience, I'm pretty hard on myself. I don't think it's placebo in any way. I'll tell you this. I hunted with glasses for the first week or two when I had them last April. And there's nothing to hide. It took me about, you know, two or three hunts to kind of go, okay, this is a little different. And it went from that to I felt completely naked when I don't have them on. I mean,
yeah.
it is the most interesting mind game when you don't wear them after you've had them and you've been using this and you've been used to seeing birds or whitetails or whatever up in your setup, and you're used to looking left to right to see if there's a tom coming or a buck chasing or whatever the case might be, and you don't have to move your head to get 180 degrees.
Yeah.
I can see exactly yeah. what's going on in the field in front of me, and look right at that animal that's in front of me, and they're none the wiser of me being there. So
I'm thinking here.
You shoot your bow with the glasses
on?
I
do.
You do.
Yep. I shot two deer this year with my bow, with my bow, and I shot one with a rifle, and two turkeys.
What do you do last light?
It's a great question. So there is about how do I want to say this? There's the lack of transmission that you have, right? When you have this, as we said, it's great in low light, but you got that little green color. I do take them off, and I put them at the very end.
Booner light,
yep.
Even though
yep.
it's not. I haven't seen many booners at that, but I missed a buck this
fall. Yeah, we won't bring up that one. Oh, you will. Yeah. Okay.
That was booner light. Yeah. Oh, we're not going to break. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. You're going there. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that's right. So the you did it, not me. So that's good. So that was a great episode, though, and you did a great job. And I thought it was awesome the way that you brought humility through. That's one of the things I like about what you guys do. So you know, I do take them, and I put them on the bill of my hat at that time, and you know the thing to understand about that is that UV is only available. You know, when the sun is out, right?
Right.
So there is a lot less in that environment at that time.
Yeah.
Do you run the risk with your eyes? Yeah, probably a little bit because you don't have that concealment.
Mm-hmm.
I had a huge, for me, at 150 or so inch buck come up broadside at 25 yards and booner light.
Yeah.
I didn't have my glasses on. I had my glasses on. Everything was good. And it was all good, you know, but I know it was that big because my dad shot it 300 yards away the next day or two days later. So, you know, what I really like about it is that it gives you that versatility. It allows you to have a tool that's going to change with you during the elements, mm-hmm. depending on how it is. Mm-hmm. And, but that's what I do in those
did,
hunts.
What just happened? What happened? Let's back up. What happened to the buck?
Yeah, so let's go into that, man. So I was targeting his buck. His name is Curly. He's an awesome buck. And we have found both of his sheds the spring before,
nice.
Which is kind of cool. And I got him measured at around 135 or so. Of course, I was guessing some things. But he'd been hitting this scrape, and I kept getting favorable winds. So I just kept going. I kept going. I was in this hunt, and I thought, man, I must have blown this place out because there's nothing going on. And about 5 o'clock, it just the woods just exploded, and there were deer running all over the place.
Oh, wow.
And I had one come from behind me. They're coming up along the side. All of a sudden, rah, 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 he comes up. This big buck comes up alongside. He stops at 25 yards broadside behind some bushes, chasing this doe.
Yep.
That's in my shooting lane, 25 yards out broadside, looking right back at him. At 10 yards apart, they are. And I thought, all right, here we go. And I was ready to go. This is going to be the biggest buck I ever shot, right?
Right.
And I was remarkably calm, by the way. I couldn't believe it. If you guys can't see this, but I'm, like, getting in the motion. Right now.
He's really getting into it over
here. So I get my, you know, I'm all set up and ready to go. And I'm like, all right, he's going to jump those 10 yards. He's going to blow her out over to here.
Yeah.
He's going to be sitting broadside. It's going to be sweet.
It.
I'm going to pull right here. He's going to come in. I'm ready. Walks off. Goes west.
No
kidding.
Yeah, the wind was perfect. Was blowing right out of the north, right out of, off of her.
So he didn't even follow her.
She didn't. She must not a stunk. She wasn't out yet.
She wasn't receptive. So he was just checking her, and he's like, "Nope, you're good.
My dad, a day prior to that, shot a really, really nice 8-pointer. First buck with his crossbow. First buck with his bow ever.
Nice.
Shot this really awesome 8-point. So we're in rifle season, and I really hunt rifle because of the family. Just for that whole thing. It's fun that way. 6:45 opening morning, I get a text message from dad. Yeah, I heard the gunshot, and I get a text from dad, and he goes, "Just shot an 8-pointer, gonna need a tag." What?
Party hunting.
Yeah, party hunt. We can party hunt in Minnesota. Yeah,
yeah.
I said,
we should mention that.
Yeah. That's a good call. And I said, "What? Really?" And then he's like, "Yeah, it was limping through the woods. I think John shot it, and it was limping through the food plot." And I said, "All right, well, you know, I guess you did the right thing, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Next year, maybe I'll get my chance." You know? And then he texts me an hour and a half later, and he's like, "Holy!" And he goes, "I just shot Curly. I can't believe it. Are you kidding?" And I was all excited, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
We get down over there, and we get over there, and we look. There's only one bullet hole in the animal, and it was the one my dad had. That deer wasn't limping.
Yeah.
It was so big. It was so tired. It was just like, lunging along. Lunging, you know, those big bucks that just kind of lunge through.
Lumbering,
you know,
along, yeah.
Lumbering along, and he shot it, and we celebrated. Oh, we had so much
fun.
Man,
that's awesome.
Well, you know, I tell you what's really cool about that hunt and that whole situation is that field 3 years ago was a barren bean field.
Yeah.
I bought that land 3 years ago, and I turned it right into CRP land, working with their local NRCS, and that only reason that hunt happened was because of conservation.
Wow, that's cool.
And putting it back into conservation. He shot it in a food plot that we have that's covered as part of the CRP plan.
Yep.
So I have some grasslands that help support the funding of that food plot. And he came out of some timothy that I had, and there's some pine trees and hybrid popples and stuff, and that we planted, and he came out of there. And so it's so cool to have this. I think Dad said he got him at 6.5 is what they got his teeth
that's
at.
Awesome.
This really awesome buck that, you know, he shot out of a stand we call Caden stand, which is my son's name because my son painted it when he was 3, and it looks terrible. But he was a 3-year-old, so what are you gonna do?
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool.
That's funny.
I'm thinking of a commercial. I can just imagine it coming together as this group of duck hunters are in the blind, and they're all got their face mask and paint on, and you have this one guy on the one side.
Yeah.
Their ducks flare, whatever. And he's like, "No, not me, bro."
Yeah. I like it. You want to be on the marketing team? We could get you going. Yeah, that's been the thing. And you know, it's been really cool. And you mentioned it, Adam, about how, you know, you got into duck hunting in college. And you had your buddy taking you and stuff. Outfitters have actually taken a pretty strong liking to what we're doing because, you know, they're trying to give their people the best experience that they possibly can.
Yeah, yeah.
And how terrible of an experience is that? You're going hunting, they supply the gun or whatever, doesn't matter, and you're out there and the first thing you tell them to do is give me your eyewear, don't look into the sky, I'll let you know, whatever. It's like that takes away from the experience, and it's so great to be a part of an organization and to be building an organization that is focused on giving that experience back, you know, trying to let people enjoy the outdoors even more. And so Outfitters are one of those groups
that
we're seeing getting behind what we're doing. So
definitely.
One thing I want to say, I don't know if we clarified it, but I'm always a sunglass nerd.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, we know UV going into our eyes. We don't want that long term. Most sunglasses are reflecting UV.
Yep.
But your sunglasses, it's not reflecting. So the question is, what I want people to understand that it's not just going right into your eyeball anyway.
I'm glad you brought it up. It's great. So we actually have to use only a couple different materials would be even possibility for us to use because of that. And so, the material that we use, it absorbs the ultraviolet light and does not allow that ultraviolet light to enter the eye. It's 100% absorption in the lens, UVA and UVB. So there's a complete UV absorption in the product for both UVA and UVB. And it's crazy because it's not only is it the technology that changes the lens, it's also the technology that allows the lens to be absorbed so that it's dark in the UV spectrum.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
that's neat.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. But yeah, great point. There's a complete absorption of the ultraviolet light
that's
in the
awesome.
Lens.
Yeah. So
safe.
Very
safe.
Very, very,
stealthy.
Very safe.
It's shatterproof.
Great
for shooting.
Yeah, it's impact resistant, all those sorts of things, yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
So it's a pretty cool solution, yeah. We're really excited about it.
Definitely.
Next year, we actually outgrew our booth this year, so we just reserved a booth. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. So we're going to have 2 10x10s now, so we're going to be 10x20.
Sweet.
And we're going to be able to show this this experience in 2 different areas so that people can – it almost was too busy here today for us to tell the story. So
how could people find you?
Yeah, so relevant.life is our website.
Okay.
It's our Facebook handle. It's our Instagram handle. So RLVNT.LIFE is how they can follow it. They'll see me. I'm just the dude trying to build a business, man. And they're going to see me doing the thing. And it's 100% like the authenticity. In fact, I kind of get beat up. They're like, "We need better pictures." I'm like, "I don't know, man. I'm just a dude trying to take pictures."
Yeah.
So relevant.life.
We know that's what that's like.
Yeah.
So that's our website. That's our... that's the Facebook page and the the Instagram page, and I'm the one that responds. So anybody has any questions or whatever, I'm always the one responding to those things, and I'll usually always put my name on there so that they know it came from me. So
perfect.
I love getting engaged with people, answering questions, and all those sorts of things. So I'd encourage them to reach out.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I know we'll. I'm expecting your buddy from Minnesota to come over that system and say 1 hour till it's closing.
Yeah,
so we'll wrap it up. But thank you so much for coming on, telling people about it. I mean, we've talked habitat conservation this whole time.
Yeah,
so we're going a little bit different direction on this one, but it's because you have such a unique, cool product. You're just like us. You're at the. You're building a business, and you've got a great product that I think everyone needs to be aware of. So
well, I really appreciate you guys having me, and I know I've said this to you guys, but man, I appreciate what you guys do. I mean, it's the industry needs more people that do what Adam and Matt and Chad do, because it's a I saw it firsthand. It changed my experience when my dad shot that big buck, and I was glad to give that tag up and give him the biggest high five.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just awesome. And it's because of what I learned from watching you guys and listening to you guys. And this is just 100% genuine.
Yeah.
You guys helped have an impact on that hunt, and I hope it's for other people as well. So thanks for what you guys do.
Man, appreciate that. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
We'll see you.